ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, titled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 39.
Vijayaratha Kudumba Atta Totre Thrita Dhrita Haya Rashmini తచ్రియే క్షణీయే భగవతీ రతిరస్తు మే ముమూర్షో యమీహ నిరీక్ష హతగతా స్వరూపం విజయరథ కుడుంబ ఆతతోత్రే ృతహయ రశ్మిని తచ్రియే క్ష్ణనీయే భగవతీ రతిరస్తు మే ముమూర్షో యమీహ నిరీక్ష హతగతా స్వరూపం విజయరథ కుడుంబ ఆతతోత్రే హృదహయ రశ్మిని తచ్రియే క్షణీయే భగవతీ రతిరస్తు మే ముమూర్షో యమీహ నిరీక్ష హతగతా స్వరూపం విజయరథ కుడుంబ ఆతతోత్రే హృదయ హరేష్మిని తచ్రియే క్షణీయే భగవతీ రతిరస్తు మే ముమూర్షో యమీహ నిరీక్ష హతగతా స్వరూపం
విజయ అర్జున్ రథ చారియట్ కుటుంబే the object of protection at all risk ata totre with a whip in the right hand dhritahaya controlling the horses rashmini rocks tatsriya beautifully standing ekshaniye to look at భగవతి అంటు ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ రతిహి అస్తు లెట్ మై అట్రాక్షన్ బి ముమూర్షో వన్ హూ ఇస్ అబౌట్ టు డై యమ్ అపాన్ హూమ్ ఇహ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ నిరీక్ష బై లుకింగ్ హతాహ those who died, gataha, attained, swarupam, original form. So translation and purport by His Saving Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjun, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original form after death. Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord constantly sees the presence of the Lord within himself because being transcendentally related by loving service. Such a pure devotee cannot forget the Lord for a moment. This is called trance. The mystic yogi tries to concentrate upon the super soul by controlling the senses from all other engagements, and thus he ultimately attains samadhi. A devotee more easily attains samadhi or trance by constantly remembering the Lord's personal features along with his holy name, fame, pastimes, etc. Therefore, the concentration of the mystic yogi and that of the devotee are not on the same level. The concentration of the mystic is mechanical, whereas that of the pure devotee is natural in pure love and spontaneous affection. Bhishma Dev was a pure devotee, and as a military marshal, he constantly remembered the battlefield feature of the Lord as Parthasarathi, the chariot driver of Arjun. Therefore, the Lord's pastime as Parthasarathi is also eternal. The pastime of the Lord, beginning from his birth at the prison house of Kamsa up to the Maushala Leela at the end, all move one after another in all the universes, just as the cloak hand moves from one point to another. And in such pastimes, his associates like Pandavas and Bhishma are constant eternal companions. So Bhishma Dev never forgot the beautiful feature of the Lord as Parthasarathi, which even Arjun could not see. Arjun was behind the beautiful Parthasarathi, while Bhishma Dev was just in front of the Lord. As far as the military feature of the Lord is concerned, Bhishma Dev observed this with more relish than Arjun. All the soldiers and persons on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original spiritual form like the Lord after their death, because by the causeless mercy of the Lord, they were able to see him face to face on that occasion. The conditioned souls rotating in the evolutionary cycle from the aquatics up to the form of Brahma are all in the form of Maya, or the form obtained by one's own action and awarded by material nature. The material form of the conditioned souls are all foreign dresses, and when the conditioned soul becomes liberated from the clutches of material energy, he attains his original form. The impersonalists want to attain the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord, but that is not at all the congenial to the living sparks, part and parcel of the Lord. Therefore, the impersonalists again fall down and get material forms, which are all false to the spirit soul. A spiritual form like the Lord's, either two-handed or four-handed, is attained by the devotees of the Lord, either in Vaikuntha or in the Goloka planet, according to the original nature of the soul. This form, which is 100% spiritual, is the Swarupa of the living being. And all the living beings who participated on the battlefield of Kurukshetra on both sides attained their Swarupa, as confirmed by Bhishma Dev. So Lord Sri Krishna was not merciful only to the Pandavas, he was also merciful to the other parties, because all of them attained the same result. Bhishma Dev wanted the same facility also, and that was his prayer to the Lord, although his position as an associate of the Lord is assured in all circumstances. The conclusion is that whoever dies looking on the personality of Godhead within or without attains his Swarup, which is the highest perfection of life.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. One very important point that we can learn in this pastime is the importance of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you think about remembrance or even focused remembrance, it is not really alien to living entities. For a businessman, as it is mentioned, he can see money all the places. He is focused completely on how to make money. So he sees opportunity for making money in different walks of life. So his meditation is money making. So it is very absorbed. One is very involved in that activity. So naturally, mind flows towards that. It is true that the living entity has the capacity to be absorbed. First of all, the nature of the mind is to think. One of the natures is to think. And it is not just we can think. Okay, of course, we are thinking all the time, one or the other thing, but we have the ability to think with lot of attention, with lot of focus. I remember I was a student and my friend, he was from Asia, he was a Chinese friend. So we used to do all the project together and we used to work together, lot of things. So he shared his realization. He was coming up with different ideas, different business plans. So I asked him, you know, how do you come up with so many plans? So he said, I am thinking about how to make big money. He said, that is my thought. Even I am a student now, but my future, I want to make money. And now itself, I am thinking so much on how to make different varieties of products or different facilities. Somehow or other, how can I make money? That too good money. So this is how one is focused in some material activity. And we have the capacity to do so. Then I had a similar experience in the university because one of my senior, he was a researcher, he was counseling me. He was giving me some good advice. And this advice was, he said to me, look, if you really want to thrive in this field, if you want to really go really hard in this field, you have to constantly think about what you're doing. What is already done, what are the improvements required, what you can do completely new. And he said, all the time I'm actually thinking. I take a break, I go for, you know, for lunch, then I'm thinking about this. I just go for a walk to relax, I'm thinking about this. So he was telling me, I'm so absorbed. He was mentioning to me, I'm so absorbed in this activity. Anyway, I was trying to be a devotee, so it was not very inspirational for me hearing that. I was thinking, you know, forget it. You know, I really don't want to think all this. You know, I want to really think about Krishna. That's what is Bhagavad Gita talking about. But, you know, to survive in this world, we have to think about other things. Still, I can remember the face of a particular professor. He was pretty good. Whenever I look at his face, I can, even if he's speaking to me something, he's behind the scene, he's thinking about something else. So I used to talk to my friends, look, have you seen his face? They said yes. You know, you can see he's thinking something else even while he's speaking to us. So they agreed. So we all came to a conclusion that always there is a background task running. So he's absorbed in this world. He's talking to us, you know, dealing all this. But behind the scene, he's thinking constantly. And he was pretty good. He was a very good researcher. He was a good professor. And he's just going up. So even materially, a lot of focus, attention and absorption is required to make any achievement. So personally, it was not very inspirational for me. So I thought, you know, if I have to really make some progress in devotional life, I'm not so qualified to be absorbed in a job or any other things and, you know, make progress. I can't do that. I'm not so advanced. I thought, okay, full devotional service, that would be more appropriate for me. So this mental engagement was really taxing for me. And I had this experience. Whenever I had to do something get done, okay, it is a mental activity pretty much, then when I am traveling from here to the university, I used to think about that and plan while going. I used to prepare my mind. Then when I go there, I can just quickly do the job. Then I thought, okay, the same principle could be applied in devotional service. And one of the direct application came to me was, you know, when we attend Mangalarati, you know, I have service, I bathe Gauranitai, or do Mangalarati, bathe Gauranitai. When I do the service, or wake the Lord up, when I do all the service, when I think about Krishna, then we sit and try to chant, it is much easier to listen to the holy name. Because mind is already prepared, seeing the form of the Lord, thinking about the Lord. Then when we try to get in touch with the holy name, the mind becomes, naturally, it becomes much easier for us. So often if I just try to get up and try to chant, initially it is hard to get into. It takes some time, few rounds to actually try to listen and get absorbed a little bit. But when we actually go through a series of service where we are thinking about Krishna and then we chant, then it becomes, okay, the mind is ready to accept. So that is the way, you know, I was trying to use, you know, this experience in service of Krishna. So, in Bhagavad Gita, the Gita Rahasya, the secret of Gita is absorption of mind in Krishna and His service. So, Srila Prabhupada, even in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, makes this point very clear. We don't have to read till the end of Bhagavad Gita, or even the middle of Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakta. We don't have to go till there, but in the introduction towards the end, Srila Prabhupada makes this point very clearly. This is the rahasya, this is the secret that one has to think about Krishna. So this is the secret. Now, here Bhishma Dev is demonstrating this point. He's about to depart his body and he is completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. He is completely absorbed in the devotees of Krishna who are very dear to Krishna. Here, Vijaya directly mentions the name of Vijaya, Arjun, who is very dear to Krishna. Now, when we talk about absorbing the mind in Supreme, there are at least a couple of processes available. Here it is mentioned. One is the samadhi that is attained by mystic yogis. And then second one, as we see, for a pure devotee, how he is engaged his mind in serving Krishna. So we can see in Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, there are series of verses, particularly referring to a yoga mishra bhakta, who is absorbing in his mind sort of the mechanical system. You know, sarvadwarani samyamya mano hridi niridhyacha muthenya adhyatmana pranam asito yoga dharanam. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all the sensual engagement, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head, one establishes himself in yoga. It's a kind of a mechanical process, not so easy. Then it is mentioned, Om ityekaksharam brahmam yavaharan mam anusvaran yaprayadi tajandeham sayadi paramam gatim. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planet. So this is one process. This 8th chapter, this is particularly about Yoga Mishra Bhakta, so the bhakti element is there. But the process is quite hard. Close the old gates of the body, focusing only on the life air, and meditate on the Omkar. Not very easy. So the easier process, so Prabhupada makes it very clear, these processes are not on the same level. One is a mechanical process, because we are totally, or to a great degree, dependent on the external circumstances. That is, in terms of focusing, in terms of controlling the life air, one has to practice celibacy, etc. Whereas in bhakti, the attraction is based on spontaneous affection and love. And here, Bhishma Dev had already attained such kind of spontaneous affection for the Lord. And in sadhana bhakti, it's a process which will lead to spontaneous affection. So currently, there is no question of whether we like to do or not. There is no question, do you like to get up for Mangalarati? No, we don't ask this question. Do you ask, would you like to do services? No, we don't ask this question. Because sadhana bhakti means, we are told to do, so do it. Whether we like it or we do not like it. But this is to come to the platform of spontaneous attraction. To have natural inclination to serve the Lord because of affection. So, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita itself, Srila Prabhupada makes this point very clear. If one has to come to the platform of constant remembrance of the Lord, then one needs to develop spontaneous attraction. Otherwise, one cannot come to that platform. Here, Bhishma Dev had the spontaneous affection, so he could constantly remember. Purport says, since he was a great warrior, he had this scene all the time, that is, thinking about Krishna on the battlefield. So he had that, this eternal pastime was always manifesting in his mind. He was thinking about Krishna. And finally, even at the time of death, he meditates on the same pastime. Now, in the 8th chapter, the easy process is mentioned, how to get Krishna. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati tatkasya tasyaham sulabham partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. So it's mentioned, for one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pratha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So this is the easy process for us. If we are constantly engaged in devotional service, then it is natural for us to think about Krishna. So we can see how Srila Prabhupada has designed the whole ISKCON movement in such a way that we are constantly engaged in service of Krishna. It is not to space out. It is to constantly engage in service of Krishna. Then we can think about Krishna. Because the thing is, that is the only way we can think about Krishna. Because if we get spaced out, naturally mind will be attracted to our past habits, whatever, you know, remnants we have from many, many births. So all this maya will take us to somewhere else. The only way is we have to be engaged in service of Krishna. And then we can understand the significance of meaning of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is, O Lord, kindly engage me in your service. We are calling Hara, Radha and Krishna to engage all the time in their service. So because that is the only way we can be out of maya. There is no other process. We think we can have a balance between these two. That is, sometimes I will be in Krishna consciousness and sometimes we can go for a maya trip. And that's how we function in the conditioned state. We may not leave the temple, we may not leave Krishna consciousness altogether, but internally we are leaving Krishna so many times. All the time. While doing service, while chanting, all the time we go away from Krishna consciousness. We think something else. So many times. So we have to bring the mind back to the service, back to Krishna, back to the holy name. This is the process. So this is the practice through which we are trying to come to the platform of constant remembrance of Krishna. Now, the question is again, how to remember Krishna? So, the service has to exist in conjunction with understanding about Krishna, which is sadhana. So, we do service, and along with that, we try to develop some understanding about Krishna. That is sadhana, which is important, and chanting. So, this has to go side by side. Sadhana and seva has to go side by side. So, we have a substantial amount of time that is allocated for sadhana. You see, the morning program, it is a substantial time. Then, apart from that, we study Srila Prabhupada's books. It is substantial time. So, in that way, there has to be a balance between these two, sadhana and seva. If there is no balance, then we cannot come to a spontaneous attraction for Krishna. Even if you go either sides, if one thinks, okay, I will do hearing and chanting only, then since we are not qualified, we may do hearing and chanting for some time. After that, we may hear and chant about Maya. It is like one time, say that one of the devotees was very impressed by Haridas Thakur, and he wanted to just do hearing and chanting. I think it was in Mayapur. And devotees mentioned this to Srila Prabhupada. Look, this particular Prabhu, he wants to just hear and chant. He has gone to some other part of Mayapur and he is hearing and chanting throughout. He doesn't want to do any service. So Srila Prabhupada was not impressed with that. He said, when he is advanced enough, he would associate with the devotees and would do service. So that is lower platform. So of course, there are devotees who are qualified to just hear and chant. But they are practically elevated souls. It's like Srila Prabhupada had his godbrother, Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji. So it is mentioned when he first arrived in Gaudiya Math, which was established by Bhaktisiddhanta. So he said, I want to chant. And he actually picked a beat and he started chanting. So devotees actually came up to Bhaktisiddhanta and said, here is one devotee who has come, he is just chanting. And he said he's not doing any service. Because naturally the tendency is, yeah, I want to chant because I want to avoid service. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, okay, you go and sit with him and start chanting. See how it goes. So few of them started with chanting with Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji. And all of them chanted for some time. Few hours passed. And after some time, these devotees, they went up to Bhaktisiddhanta and asked, did you stop chanting? They said, yeah, we stopped chanting. So what is he doing? So Bhaktisiddhanta, he's still chanting. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, okay, just leave him. He's a chanter. Just leave him. So he demonstrated practically that throughout his life. So that is on a platform where there is real taste for chanting. However, for us in ISKCON, we have to have balance between both the aspects. Because we are a preaching movement. So one has already perfected, one has developed so much of taste for chanting. Yes, one can do chanting, but along with that, one should spread the glories of the holy name, just like what Prabhupada did. Because Prabhupada, he had the whole taste for chanting. Even before he accepted sannyas, a few devotees actually commented, seeing Srila Prabhupada chanting, how intensely Srila Prabhupada was chanting. So intense. So Prabhupada had taste for chanting, but to carry out the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did both aspects, sadhana and seva. Now, in this pastime, we can see another important tool is given for us to remember Krishna. And that is name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. So here, there's a beautiful pastime of the Lord mentioned as the section is progressing. How Krishna was about to attack and about to kill Bhishma Dev, apparently. And the whole pastime, the whole scene in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this pastime helps one to think about Krishna. So that is a beauty, that is a significance of pastimes of the Lord. Because the Lord descends to this material world to attract the minds of the conditioned souls. So when we develop that attraction, then the ephemeral beauty of this material world becomes insignificant. So this sadhana and seva helps us to develop some attraction for Leela of the Lord. So it is mentioned in Brahma Samhita, Leelayatena Bhuvanani Jagati Ajasram. That is the whose glory, about the Leela he is speaking, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes. So the whole idea of pastimes is such that these pastimes can capture our minds. Currently, when we are self-absorbed, we are always thinking about ourselves. A conditioned entity, naturally he thinks about himself, he thinks about his achievements, what he wants to achieve, and whomever is related to him. This is the constant thought of a conditioned being, because by this way he is trying to enjoy himself, either enjoying or making some plans to enjoy. This is the condition of the living entity, whereas we had to transfer this attraction to Leela, the pastimes of the Lord. So this process will naturally give us attraction to pastimes of the Lord. We had to read and understand and just engage in our service, in our sadhana. Natural attraction for pastime will arise in the heart. Here in the purport, explains further about the pastime, the nature of the pastime. Because in the material existence, we are in existential crisis. That is, existence is questioned. There is stress, there is anxiety, there is fear. All these things are related to identifying ourselves with the body and the mind. Because we are eternal and we are identifying ourselves with something which is temporary. And that is causing, that is manifesting in so many different kinds of problems. And we are influenced by the time. The material time, it is causing so many kinds of deterioration. It is killing us practically. It is defeating our plans. So this material time, as far as we are under the clutches of material time, we don't have any hope. So we had to come to the spiritual platform. One time, I was hearing in a lecture, so I was mentioning this material time in a very beautiful way. I was mentioning, he's a devotee, he saw one daughter and mother passing. So, you know, first I think the daughter was passing, and then the mother was passing. So they were looking alike, you know, quite similar. So he was mentioning, this is time. So the gap between these two is actually time. So now she's young and beautiful, but just a matter of time becomes old. It is applicable for all of us. This is the influence of the material time. Now, if you see pastimes of Krishna, apparently it looks like there is some influence of time. There is a nice verse in the 10th canto, 8th chapter. It is mentioned, Kalena Vrajatalpena Gokule Rama Keshavu Janupyam Saha Panipyam Ringamano Vijahrutu. So it is mentioned, Kalena Vrajatalpena. Just after passing of a short time, both Krishna and Balaram, they started to crawl by using their knee and their hand. So it is mentioned, apparently it looks like, okay, Krishna is also changing his body. Krishna is growing up. Same with Balaram. So isn't it that the time influencing them? And we are talking about Swarup of the Lord. We are talking about Swarup of the living entity, and we are talking about Swarup of the Lord. But apparently Swarup means that which doesn't change. But Krishna's form is changing in the pastime, in this Gokul Vrindavan. So how is it possible? So what is his Swarup? Is it when he was 1 year? He was in a Balya, Pauganda, Kaumara? What is his Kavishara? What is his Swarup? Or which is his eternal form? One could ask this question. It looks apparently contradicting. So, the answer to that is very beautifully presented in this purport. So, the answer is that all these forms are actually eternal. It's not that even though apparently it is changing, but that form in itself is eternal. So further, so here it's mentioned in the purport, the pastime of the Lord, beginning from his birth at the present house of Kamsa, up to the Maushalila is at the end, all moves one after another in all the universes, just as the clock hand moves from one point to another. So this, I'll speak a little bit about this. It's a very nice description given in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhya Lila, 20th chapter. So it's mentioned, Krishna manifests his form in one universe, and when he grows a bit, the previous form is present in another universe. So it is mentioned,
Putana vathati yata lila kshane kshane sapa lila nitya prakat kore anukrame.
When Lord Krishna appears from one moment to moment, he exhibits his different pastimes, beginning with the killing of Putana. All these pastimes are eternally being demonstrated one after another. So this is not finishing. Even no forms of Krishna is finishing at this point. If one form disappears here, it is happening somewhere else. So it is constantly happening. The consecutive pastimes of Krishna are being manifested in one of the innumerable universes moment after moment. There is no possibility of counting the universes. But in any case, some pastimes of the Lord is being manifested at every moment in one universe or another.
So, it's mentioned, Lord Krishna exhibits his pastimes of childhood, boyhood and pre-youth. When he reaches pre-youth, he continues to exist eternally to perform his rasa dance and other pastimes.
So, that is another difference. Because our growth, we go through the six changes. Birth, growth, staying for some time, byproducts, and then finally death. Whereas Krishna, for his transcendental form, nothing happens. It grows. When it reaches Kalshara, stays there. Because that is the time he can enjoy the rasa dance.
So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this beautiful narration. He gives, the cycle of his pastimes turns like a wheel of fire. Thus Krishna exhibits his pastimes one after another in every universe. So this is a very interesting and important example to understand, because if we consider a wheel of fire, means say suppose we have a lamp attached or a fire attached to a rope, and if we rotate that, then if we look, we see it is continuous. We can see fire everywhere. So it actually shows, in the same way, the Lord's pastime, it is actually going through different universes.
Just like, you know, the example is given, just like sometimes the circus or, you know, exhibition come to one city, go to the next, etc. In the same way, the Lord is exhibiting his pastimes throughout.
And here, Bhishmadev was so fortunate that he could see the Parthasarathi form of the Lord, which even Arjuna couldn't relish, because Arjun was just behind Parthasarathi. He was just behind Krishna. He couldn't see him in the front. Whereas Bhishmadev, he was constantly relishing this beautiful form of the Lord. So this is the good fortune of Bhishmadev. And then this purport talks about the destination and sarup of all living entities who participated in this battlefield of Kurukshetra. So according to our understanding, according to Vaishnava understanding, liberation, the actual meaning of mukti means one is attaining one's actual form. Muktir hitva anyadha rupam swarupena vyavastiti. Second canto of Bhagavatam explains mukti. The definition of mukti is hitva, just giving up anyadha rupam. We have so many different kinds of designations, as mentioned in the purport, right from the aquatics to that of Lord Brahma, and even in the human form, we identify in so many different forms. Like we identify ourselves as student, we may identify as Lord, as Master, as Enjoyer, as King, as Administrator, as Manager, this or that. We have so many different kinds of designations. Or we come from this family, we come from this country, this skin, that, so many different designations. And all these designations, one has to give up and one has to come to one's original form, which is completely spiritual, which is again Sachidananda. So that is hito anyadharyupam swarupena vyavastiti. That is swarup. So here we can see Krishna is so merciful that he awarded swarup to all living entities. So this point is further explained in
the third canto of Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, where Uddhava remembers the activities of Krishna inside Vrindavan and outside Vrindavan. So Uddhava is actually considering himself to be unfortunate because he couldn't go along with the Supreme Lord. So it's a very nice verse. Tathaiva chanye naraloka vira ya ahave Krishna mukharavintam netrai pribando nayanapiramam parthasra puta padam apurasya. So in this verse it is mentioned, certainly others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows. And while seeing the lotus feet of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. So, how this process works? So, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it is interesting how everyone got purified. So, this verse mentions, we may wonder how all these soldiers got purified. It is mentioned, Parthastra Puta. They got purified by the arrows of Arjuna. So it is a strange way of purifying. So we try to purify ourselves and others with prasadam, with instructions by the holy names. But on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it was something different. It was by the arrows of Arjuna. And how it happened, it is mentioned, Arjuna was carrying out the plan, the will of the Supreme Lord. So, since he was acting as an instrument of Krishna, so killing by Arjuna is as good as killing by Krishna himself. So all of them who were killed by Arjuna were actually, they got the same result as if they were killed by Krishna himself. So this is the power of a devotee who is acting under the guidance of Supreme Lord. Even the act of killing becomes purifying, Parthasraputa. And then Padam Apurasya. So there we can see actually a nice analysis given about the destination of these people. So it is mentioned in the third canto where all these people went. So there is a bit more details are given. So on one side, it is given, those who saw the beautiful face of Krishna, and that is so beautiful, Nayanabhiramam, it is enchanting for the eyes. So, here we have to understand, even though we say everyone got spiritual destination, in our philosophy, we stress both oneness and difference. Okay, the destinations are different, but at the same time one. So that is the principle of Achintya Bheda Petatattva. We stress both aspects. Say for instance, Dvaitavadis, the Madhva Sampradaya, they stresses on the difference between the Jiva and the Ishvara, the difference between the material world and the spiritual world, etc. But we stress both aspects. And we also stress on the variety in the spiritual world. We don't just say that, okay, the spiritual world is there and it is all one, but we say there are differences in the spiritual existence also. So, it is mentioned, those who are inimical towards Krishna, even though they saw the beautiful face of Krishna, they couldn't actually go to the spiritual abode. Rather, they got Sayujya Mukti. And the famous example given in that purport is that of Shishupal. He couldn't directly go to the spiritual world. First, he had to go through Sayujya Mukti. He had to actually become one with the effulgence, the Brahmajyoti effulgence of the Lord. And those who were neutral on this battlefield, who again saw the beautiful form of Krishna, his beautiful face, then this neutrality converted into some kind of attraction for the Lord. And when they got that attraction, they actually went to Vaikuntha Loka. They couldn't actually go to Goloka Vrindavan, but they could only go to the Vaikuntha Loka. So it is mentioned, and those who had full love for Krishna, those who developed full love for Krishna, they could only go to Goloka Vrindavan. So here also purport we can say, they got the destination either Vaikuntha or Goloka. So it's mentioned, those whose love of God is awakened to the fullest extent go back to the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. Whereas persons who have just awakened to love of Godhead by accident or by association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planet. So even the destination, even in the spiritual world, that is, you know, it is dependent on one's bhakti, one's love for Krishna. It's not just accidental. If it is accidental, some attraction is there, then purified one can only go to Vaikuntha Loka. We can see even in the sadhana process, there is difference between going to Vaikuntha and going to Golok. So the difference, even the prema bhakti is classified as two. That which takes to Vaikuntha Loka and that which takes to Golok Vrindavan. This is oneness, both are spiritual world, but there is difference. We stress both aspects. And of course, essentially there is no material difference between Vaikuntha or Golok Vrindavan. But spiritually we can see, and they are satisfied in either conditions, but philosophically we understand the intimacy in relation is more in Golok Vrindavan. So, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give us this process. He gave us the process of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to elevate one to Golok Vrindavan and to the ultimate rasa, as it is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the beginning verses. Anarpita chira 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 karunaya avatirnakalo arpidum unnatochala rasam sabhakti shriyam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. This love of Godhead has not been bestowed for such a long time. Anarpita, not given for chira chira for such a long time. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this age of Kali because of compassion. Karunaya avatirnakalo. And for what? Arpitam, to give, to bestow unnata ujjala rasam. Unnata, the highest. So even though the residence of Kali is the lowest, because of compassion of Mahaprabhu, he wanted to give the highest. And that too, the highest rasa, ujjala rasam. Ultimately, he came to give the highest rasa. That is madhurya. That is the conjugal relation, the conjugal love for Krishna. So bhakti shriyam, the wealth of devotion. So this is the purpose of appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada, he actually gave this, he distributed this out of compassion, out of mercy throughout the world. And we are in the right place, and it is only matter for us to take the right opportunity in serving Krishna, take the right opportunity to glorify Krishna by chanting and attain the spontaneous affection for Krishna. So our aim is just to stick to the process. Just take to the process wholeheartedly. And that can give us everything, practically speaking. So, I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. That is mentioned here, yeah. But it may not be, if you read Mahabharata, it may not be the case directly, because apparently many of them have gone to the heavenly planets. Did Karna and Duryodhan attain Sayujya Mukti? So Mahabharata says they have about Duryodhan going to the heaven, going to the hell, all these kind of things are mentioned. So we have to see that as temporary stage, but ultimately they have got spiritual destination.
So, I want to ask you something. We have seen people have got taste for chanting.
Mm.
I have seen few people, not me. And still, their mind is going around, not hearing all the holy names in 116.
Mm.
So, what do you suggest? What are the measures we should take so that they hear all the holy?
Practice. Abhyasa and achakamtaya. Vairagya. Abhyasa and vairagya. Detachment and practice.
With knowledge, detachment will be there.
Yeah, knowledge can give detachment. That's right. But knowledge in itself is insufficient. Because we had to realize the knowledge. And we can realize the knowledge only through practice. So, we had practice. Any?
suffering on the battlefield, people who died on the battlefield, did they take to, they had to take to some, they had to take to appeal the process, and then they were purification prayer?
They didn't have to go through the sadhana process or the regulated or devotion service in practice. The reason is, this is a very rare occasion where the Lord is present Himself. So the Lord can bestow His mercy. So it is said, these are examples of Kripa Siddhas who can attain perfection. They, of course, they internally, they are transferred, or they endeavored internally in one sense, because from their neutral mentality they develop some attraction. But the basis of developing that attraction is not a sadhana process in itself, rather it is just because of kripa of the Lord. So of course they have gone through that bhakti process, but it is out of kripa. So there's no, the process as we go through, it, that wasn't there.
Yeah. Very intense.
Which one?
Very intense process.
Yeah, it was a quick process, and it,
because the battle is intense. Yeah. And Krishna
has to do this so that in the posterity of the battle, he gets up. Yeah. Different species, right from equity to Brahma.
Mean creating different species?
Yeah.
Who has created different species?
What basis they are saying they have created some species by cloning and crossbreeding?
No one has created species as such. Even the, okay, if you talk about Darwinian evolution, they claim that the species are created by the process of evolution, but the fact is that there is not even one evidence, or it is unable to demonstrate such a process of creating a new species. Then the Darwin's theory is acceptable if actually a new species could be created. There are adaptations are there, but there is no complete transformation.
Yes, that,
yeah.
That is our understanding. That's right. But they claim that, for example, you know, flies, moths, and animals are cloned, and some features, body features, are changed.
But the bodily, that doesn't mean it's a new species, as such.
That's what,
you know, other day I was reading about the synthetic life. I remember Tuan, I was showing to Tuan also about synthetic life. It's not synthetic life. It is creating, you know, basically the idea was from a bacteria, remove the actual DNA and place a synthetic DNA. So as if the life is based upon the DNA. Okay, once characteristics is, the blueprint is there in DNA, and they could synthetically create one, that is fine. But for the whole thing, they wanted already existing bacteria. Okay, so the law was the smallest, one of the smallest in a living entity. They had that living entity there. Then they could do all these experiments. So then the whole, you know, even among the scientists, they didn't agree to the whole thing. It was a couple of years back about the synthetic life, you know. There was even the, many of the people in ethics committee, and many of them, they wrote articles, you know, playing God. It's not really synthetic life, and always they use the inverted commas. It's, I don't think they can claim that. Yeah.
Krishna
Past times, yeah, it's simultaneously. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, it is possible. So for instance, even if you see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they are in spiritual world as well. The eternally their pastimes are going on while they are present and they are doing the same pastimes. So apparently it is possible. even Jiva can have simultaneous existence. By the mercy of the Lord, Jiva can exist in multiple pastimes. It can be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gaura Leela, simultaneously can be present with Radha Krishna Leela. So it is possible. So we can even see the same personalities in two Leelas, and both these Leelas are eternal. So it is possible. It's inconceivable.
Spontaneous attraction for Krishna. If we just doing our service, is that enough to guarantee us going back home back to look into our Swarupa?
Yes, of course. It is enough in the sense that we have these two sides, one is sadhana and one is seva. Now, when a devotee, according to Nectar Devotion, when a devotee advances, that is when actually comes to the stage of after nishtha. Nishtha is the steadiness, complete steady. And the anartha nirvritti has happened, means the unwanted things from the heart is completely removed. And in that stage, one will still be doing one service. So it is mentioned, seva sasaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi. So that is the stage when externally one is acting as a sadhaka and internally one is acting as siddha. Or externally a devotee will act just like any other devotee. He won't be manifesting so many, you know, tears and this and that, so many, you know, I am already advanced. No, externally a devotee act just normal. And internally he will be absorbed in Krishna. So this is like internally there is another task running. So externally, because this is not very easy, especially when if we are wrestling with our mind because of anarthas, it is impossible to conceive of such a platform, because we need so much of energy first to convince ourselves to do our sadhana and seva and just be engaged in that activity, and with that, you know, how can we have a task running behind? It is impossible. So anartha nirvritti is the prerequisite for this. And in that, when it's actually one is fixed and one actually comes to the platform of Raganuga, there one can act in these two different ways, one internal activity and the external activity. And Rupa Goswami mentions very clear that a devotee, at least a Rupanuga, a devotee following in footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, which we are all supposed to do, even if one comes to that advanced platform, one should act as a sadhaka till the last breath. So this is the instruction of Srila Rupa Goswami. So that is the instruction, so that we set an example for others. So even if one is advanced, it is good fortune. But externally act as a normal devotee, but internally have the internal sadhana. So this is the, so that is possible. If with one's external service, it is possible. It is possible according to Nectar Devotion. So what we have to...
Yeah, but that good point to make is the sadness will be there.
Yeah.
Because that purifies the internal.
Yeah.
Mechanics.
Yeah.
It's kind of mechanical.
Yeah.
But it purifies the internal.
Yeah.
So that the service then is always in connection with Krishna. Remembrance of Krishna.
Krishna is
there. Stronger and stronger. Rather than the remembrance
of what I did when I was a teenager, or
what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the
further. Yes.
When you're talking about the pastime of Krishna, of that Lord Chaitanya, I was wondering, because Krishna is unlimited, does he have, you also mentioned about how there's variety in the spiritual world. I was wondering if Krishna's pastimes, they have more variety than what we actually know. And my second question was also, is Lord Chaitanya continually enacting his pastime, or was that just for a specific time? Like, I've read that he's present when you're chanting the holy name, but if he's still enacting that pastime.
Yeah, first question is, first part of the question is whether Krishna's pastime, there are varieties of pastimes of Krishna. And we know or we have access to some of his pastime. Is that all or is there any more? Is that right? Then the second is Lord Chaitanya's pastime. Is it happening all the time, or when we chant, the Lord's pastime is happening, and then after that it doesn't? The first question is we know only maybe a fraction of Krishna's leelas. Bhagavatam, it only gives a, you know, just a fraction of Krishna's leelas. Krishna's leelas are, it, you know, unlimited. The fact. So whatever is needed for us currently, whatever is required for us, our mind to be captured, that is given. And this is sufficient actually. It is more than sufficient to capture our mind. So that much is given in Bhagavatam. And when advances, one understands, one gets more insights into these pastimes, more and more. So it is not just like a mechanical or a theoretical process or, right, a academic study where whatever is there in the book, you just read, you get it, and, you know, you make the points and that's about it. No. Bhagavatam, when we read more and more and more, when we meditate on the same verses again and again and again, one relishes more, it becomes newer and newer, and gives more and more meaning and understanding about it. So it expands by itself. Then the eternal nature of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is concerned. Lord Chaitanya's pastime is happening all the time. The Lord is there in this. It is acting all the time. His pastimes are always there. So even you can see. When it's just a small conversation between Bhavanatha Roy and Lord Chaitanya. Bhavanatha Roy, he had 5 sons. One of them is famous, Ramananda Roy, and he had 4 brothers. So Bhavanatha Roy took all his sons, whole family, and he paid obeisances and surrendered in front of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri after Lord Chaitanya returned from the South Indian Yatra. So when Lord Chaitanya accepted Bhavanatha Roy, Lord Chaitanya told Bhavanatha Roy, look, you are actually my eternal servant. Not only you, the whole family, you are all my eternal servant. And birth after birth, you are simply serving me. So this is, you know, just a showing, you know, how these pastimes are happening and his associates are constantly serving him.
The goal of and if one follows the practice, then that's the yet it appears that Rupa Goswami and the other and other acharyas don't encourage the revealing of one's Sarupa.
Right? Yeah.
So what do we think of persons who say I'm this or that, or exhibit symptoms of that realization apparently? What do we think?
What do?
Of those persons.
Oh, those people, okay.
What do we think of those persons? They may write about it in books or whatever. What do we think about such people? Considering Rupa Goswami's statements and Prabhupada's who we observe them to be and appreciate and understand them as, they must know who they are.
Mm. Okay, that is actually the process is different. The process in which one reveals, or may not be to everyone, maybe at least one knows one's swarup, that is a different process altogether, and we don't follow that process. That is Siddha Pranali. Prabhupada says Siddha Pranali followed by Prakrita Sahajyas, that is abominable. That's Prabhupada's statement. So the pranali actually it has its bona fide existence, because Mahaprabhu advised it to Vakreshwar Pandit and Gopal Guru, you know, that line is there, but one has to be qualified, and most of the people are not qualified, and it becomes just an external show. And none of the Goswamis or followers of Goswamis do not follow this process of Siddha Pranali. So here I can quote a statement by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. He said, once Swarup will be revealed in the syllables of Hare Krishna Mahamantra when we chant. So one doesn't have to do an external endeavor to know Swarup or to publicize Swarup. If somebody is doing that, it means that it's an endeavor for profit, distinction and adoration. It's just a manifestation of that. So it is not bona fide, it is material.
It's what?
It's material.
Material.
Yeah. So we shouldn't associate with such people on a practical means. And we shouldn't get influenced by them. More importantly, the one could think, yeah, you know, such and such, you know, we are getting to know our swarup and we are meditating on that, etc. These are not bona fide. So everything starts, okay, we had to understand, everything starts after anartha nirvruti. All the unwanted things from the heart is gone. So, at least for, you know, as we can see, a long way to go.
You would be committing the offense of Mariya Vada Vyata Brahman, which means stepping over the head of authority. The Prabhupada never did it.
Yeah.
And Bhaktisiddhanta says very
frankly,
Bhaktivinoda Thakur may have hinted at it in his prayers, in his songs, but he never stated it explicitly. Rupa Goswami, we know that Rupa Goswami is from reading his writings, but he didn't explicitly state it.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Granthasana Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada.